watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there. Boeheim!
Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
Stop
up.
It.
Pop has it with the middle. Got Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15, 10. Hit, oh. Hit in. For an orange touchdown.
The Bills make me want to shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In, oh, to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
You know, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica-Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you are doing in the ESPN app, seen or heard and everything in between, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sports fans of all ages. At QSportsTalk.com. What a place. What a place, right? QSportsTalk.com. On the internet. Where you can watch a radio show. You can chat throughout the radio show as you watch it. You can get the show within the show as you watch the show and listen to the show. But when the radio portion of the show goes to commercial break, you at QSportsTalk.com, you refuse. You take a stand and say, oh, no. I will not do that. I will make you keep that microphone on, keep that camera on, and keep talking to me because I'm lonely and I need companionship. I have a cat, but he doesn't talk sports with me. You talk sports with me. So please keep talking to me even during the break. I can do that for you. That's what I'm here for. And you get an extra special bonus hour tonight. Oh, who's excited? Because not only are we going to be doing this radio program from 4 to 6, as usual, as seen on QSportsTalk.com. You know, might as well stick around and do some Syracuse basketball pregame for you later on as the Orange host Colgate at the JMA Wireless Dome tonight, as we're going to get into certainly on this show as well. So come on in. I'll be here for the next few hours leading you right until tip time between the Orange and the Raiders. The autumn wind is – oh, that's the wrong Raiders. Sorry. Mark Davis was not talking about Colgate when he said the coach is doing a fine job. He should, because Matt Langle, is a terrific coach for Colgate. And this is going to be, I think, an interesting matchup at the JMA Wireless Dome tonight. Big game, question mark, this early? You bet, as we will get into on this show and get into on pregame as well. So stick around. We'll be here doing the thing. Also joining us today will be the head basketball coach of Syracuse women's basketball, Felicia Leggett-Jack. They got another win over Bingo last night since we last spoke with Coach Jack. Wins over Bingo and Colgate on the women's side. And a big bet that is in play with a player who really stepped up for Syracuse last night. We'll tell you what that's all about. Get the latest and greatest on Syracuse women's basketball. Looking forward to Felicia Leggett-Jack joining us, as she does every Tuesday here on the block. Right after that, Connor O'Neill is going to join the program from Deakin Illustrated. He is the lead guy when it comes to all things Wake Forest. That's who we turn to. He has the skinny on this Wake Forest team, which, much like Syracuse, is in a bit of a slide. They've lost a few games since entering the top 25. They have a terrific quarterback, one of the best in the country, let alone the ACC, and Sam Hartman. But what else is going down as we speak here with this Wake Forest team? And is this the best opportunity for Syracuse to break this slide? Because they really need to and snap out of a four-game funk. Garrett Schrader certainly thinks this is the week they will do so. We had a chance to catch up with QB1 today, first time in about a month that QB1 has come out and done the usual Tuesday media session. So I think Garrett had some really interesting things to say, some pretty confident things about his team, trying to inject some confidence back into the conversation here with his team in a four-game losing streak. So we'll listen into a few things he had to say. One of the best takes I've heard about Josh Allen that we'll react to later in the show, what the NFL can learn from the NBA. Not that the NBA has had a stellar month, considering how the Kyrie Irving thing went and a couple other situations, but they quickly corrected a mistake from last night, if you saw a ridiculous call on Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. Some interesting calls at the end of that Commanders-Eagles game last night. I think the NFL can take a little hint from their friends in the National Basketball Association, so we will discuss that and all the hijinks and tomfoolery you would expect from this program. I appreciate all the feedback that we've gotten. Another edition of a dramatic reading of your tweets on the show yesterday. Got a lot of feedback on that. People really enjoy that segment. We've done it twice. It gets better every time. And look, we do it when we feel we can do it. Who knows? If Syracuse goes out and loses to Colgate again, we could have 2 in 3 days. You do it when it feels right. I do it when you put out the tweets to do it. As long as Elon Musk, you know, is on the hamster wheel keeping Twitter alive, we will keep doing that. I don't know if reading your Facebook comments or Instagram comments or TikTok comments is quite the same flair, but we may have to do that. We may have to set up our own voicemail line or something if Twitter goes down, because we cannot let the dramatic reading segment die if Twitter dies. We'll just have to move it somewhere else. But thanks to everybody that watched that, listened to that, and a lot of great feedback on that today. It is certainly appreciated on this end for sure. A big game against Colgate in November? You bet. Look, you don't need me to remind you that Syracuse lost to Colgate a year ago. It finally happened. Colgate had come close a couple of times in recent years, and what Matt Langel has done at Colgate has been exceptional. Look, college basketball, to build a consistent program that can go to the NCAA tournament, that is much harder than it looks, considering there's over 300 programs at the Division I level. There are those, and Jim Boeheim is one, advocating for a bigger NCAA tournament, an expansion of the NCAA tournament. You know, when that came up again, hot and heavy this year, you know, Jim just kind of did his Jim Boeheim smirk and said, I've been saying this for years, right? Now, that was 96 teams. That magic number, I don't feel like if they expanded the tournament, we should go quite that far. Jim and anybody else that says this is right to say there are more good teams, better players spread throughout college basketball. But, and I don't want to make this about expanding the tournament, but see, in the case of Colgate, Colgate has shown in recent years that they belong in that conversation to be an NCAA tournament team and not to take the path they have to. On their merits alone, they should have been a team in, not a team that has to win the Patriot League to earn the automatic bid. Because if Colgate had had this amazing season, loses in the Patriot League tournament, which can happen, weird stuff happens in conference tournaments, they don't go. They don't get the at-large bid. There's not enough room for a program out of the Patriot League to do that. So Colgate has to have this amazing regular season. They've got to play some of these money games, quite literally, play some competition, which is getting harder to do, by the way. Donna DeTota wrote a great piece about this on Syracuse.com. No one wants to play Colgate anymore. Colgate used to be a great buy game for a lot of programs. Like, nope, sorry. Oh, who's that? Matt Langel? Hang up. Hang up. Not here. Not here. Hang up the phone. No one wants to play Colgate anymore because Colgate has made runs to the tournament. They beat Syracuse last year. They gave Tennessee all they could handle in the tournament. And I can go through another of other examples there. Sent players to professional basketball and have stepped up in a league. John Feinstein wrote a great book years ago about the Patriot League. And while some of these things don't apply anymore, it does hold up well. And just what the Patriot League is like and what Colgate has to deal with. And it's a unique circumstance. So to draw the talent consistently that Langel has done is incredible. To the point now where I think everybody that is going to walk into the JMA Wireless Dome tonight or watch this game or of course listen over on Brostat TK99, knows this is not just another bye game. This is not just a sit back, relax, enjoy the show, win by 20 type of November win anymore. Last year it came to a head in something that had not happened since 1962. Between 1960 and 1962, Colgate beat Syracuse four straight times. That's the last time they had beaten Syracuse from then until last year when it happened. And Colgate came in last year, and man, it was raining threes. They said, you want to talk about living and dying by the three-point shot. This team comes in last year, scores 100 points on Syracuse. They attempted 43 three-point shots. That is the second highest total of any Syracuse opponent ever. They made 18 of those threes, which is also the second highest total for any SU opponent. And what it was a year ago was an early sign of just how much Syracuse was going to struggle on the defensive end. That defense just fell apart. It was not a good defense. It never was a good defense. It was uncharacteristic of Syracuse. They had their issues. They just could not stop anybody last year. And that Colgate win, 18 three-pointers, was the first sign of it, but it was also in an extreme because that's what teams do against the zone, right? But it was that to the nth degree. Colgate said, we are going to win this game by hitting three-pointers, and hit three-pointers they did. So that's the first question about tonight. Of all the discussion and all the buildup of the man-to-man defense, you've got to play man-to-man. Now, is Colgate going to attempt 43 three-pointers tonight? I would imagine not. Here is what Matt Langel said earlier today, by the way, right here on ESPN Syracuse on Orange Nation about zone, man, whatever defense it is. Here's how you handle it.
When you think Syracuse, you always think about the zone, and we don't prepare for it that often, and we've had a short preparation for this game, so we've worked on it a little bit. All signs should lead to the concept that they're going to play a little bit more man-to-man. I think that's it's certainly interesting, and we'll see how it goes prepare for both, because I think you're never going to not see any zone from Syracuse, but it'll certainly be interesting to see how the game goes.
So mixing in the man-to-man is sort of a monkey wrench into the equation, just to make sure you're not parking out there on the three-point line and just going bombs away here. Tucker Richardson is back for his senior year at Colgate, 6'5 guard. He's the only player in Colgate history to get to 1,500 points, 400 assists, and 300 rebounds. And that's saying a lot. There's been some great players that have gone through Colgate. Now, last year's game, the 100-point game, 185 was the final score, 43 three-point attempts in last year's game, right? Two key players from that game are no longer on this team. So if you're Syracuse, you kind of breathe a sigh of relief there. Richardson is back, though, so you got to keep an eye on him. Last year, it was Nelly Cummings and Jack Ferguson. Those two went for 43 in Colgate's win over Syracuse. They were 12 for 26 on three-pointers against the Orange. They had 9 assists and did not turn the ball over. So those two are gone. Tucker is still there, and what's interesting about Colgate is a couple of things. Braden Smith comes in. He's a freshman from Seattle. Started the first three games. He's averaging 13 points per game, so he's shown he can play. Last year, Colgate had three guards in the lineup. This year, they actually have a starting five that features two centers. Keegan Records, 6'10", Jeff Woodward, 6'11". Now, Records is averaging 13 points and 7 rebounds per game. Take it for what it's worth, it was Brown, but last week he had 23 and 10. I mean, that's a good player. Woodward is not really an offensive-minded player. He's averaging less than 3 points per game, but he's up there at 5 rebounds per game. He's playing about 20 minutes per game. He's a physical presence there. So that's a big test for Jesse Edwards. That's a big test for Syracuse that wants to get into the paint more generally. That's a big test for Judah Mintz if he feels he sees an offensive lane and he wants in there. I mean, there's only two players on this team that know what it's like to beat Colgate. Think about that for a sec. Joe Girard and Jesse Edwards. Now, there wasn't a lot of these players that you're going to see play tonight weren't even on the team last year, right? But the guys that were, they now know something that no Syracuse basketball team can feel and can know since 1962 what it's like to lose to Colgate. And I'm sure they don't want to figure out what it's like to lose to Colgate 2 years in a row. What used to be unthinkable is now possible for a myriad of reasons. How things have gone at Syracuse, the recovery they've got to make on defense, the credit that Matt Langel deserves for building that program to where it is, and, yeah, the expansion of college basketball, more players finding opportunities to go elsewhere. Doesn't mean we need to expand the tournament, but you're going to find great players like this, multiple great players like this, time after time. And we looked at it before the season and said, boy, that schedule looks a little more forgiving for Syracuse in the non-conference, at the very least on paper. What cancels that out, though, is that there are more great players spread across the sport, A, and B, this is a Jim Boeheim doesn't like it when we say it's a young team, but it has a lot of key young contributors, I'll say that, that need to come together, particularly at the point guard position. So, folks, do not look at this as another brush past it Tuesday night affair against Colgate where Syracuse will win by 20 just by showing up. It's not just last year that teaches us that lesson. That was not an anomaly. That was a buildup to something. Colgate had flirted with doing that a couple of times and finally accomplished it. It's a different team, different makeup, different situation. And I would imagine that Syracuse is going to be a little more motivated for this than they typically are. But make no mistake about it. If Colgate wins tonight, the last thing you should call that is an upset. Colgate wins tonight, the last thing you should call that is a surprise. This is not an ACC-level game, but it's a competitive game, and it's a team you cannot take for granted, an opponent you cannot take for granted anymore. Much more to come on that as we go through the afternoon and evening here, including on our pregame show tonight at 6 o'clock, which will follow this show. So lots of SU Hoops talk through the afternoon. Felicia Leggett, Jack included, who will join us about an hour from now. Looking forward to that. Connor O'Neill later in the show to break down Wake Forest football and all things Wake Forest later on here. So we will continue the Hoops conversation. You're certainly welcome to jump in on it at 437-7644 on the chat at QSportsTalk.com. Hit me on Twitter as well, Brentax Media. So we're going to switch to football on the other side here. If you want to talk Hoops, you know you can, because we have not heard from Garrett Schrader for a while. He has done a couple of post games after games he's played in, but he's been in and out of the lineup. He's been recovering, has been pretty quiet on the media front as of late. But QB1 was out there today, and I think he had some pretty darn interesting things to say about looking ahead of this Wake Forest game, the state of the team, and how to fix the offense. An offense that for the first time since 1994 has not scored a touchdown in back-to-back games. By the way, that team in 1994, that was a 7-win Syracuse team, actually finished 3 of its last 4 games without scoring a touchdown. Certainly something Syracuse wants to avoid against Wake. How do they do that? We'll listen into what Garrett Schrader said about that coming up next.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
That it is, friends. Great to have you. We're On the Block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com, as presented by our friends at the Wildcat Pizza Pub. Busy week. In that time of year, friends. Syracuse basketball in the air. Felicia Leggett, Jack and company. Took down bingo last night. As they say in the hockey world, I got bingo there, you know, eh? We'll talk to Felicia about that next hour, presented by Wegmans and Bill Rapp Superstore. Looking forward to that. Connor O'Neill from Deacon Illustrated later in the show on this Wake Forest Demon Deacon squad that Syracuse will be facing Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Programming note, by the way, for those that did not hear, the tip time for Saturday's basketball game on the men's side has been moved to 4 o'clock. I'd imagine they're going to try and move the tip time of the Saturday, November 26th game against Bryant, because that's a 7 o'clock tip, and Syracuse football plays at 7:30. For those that didn't hear the time of that game, by the way, Boston College is going to be a 7:30 game, so 3 straight games for Syracuse to come down the stretch of the season in primetime. Now, that's on the YES Network. The other two are on the ACC Network. just so you know. I would imagine, this is not official by any stretch, but I would imagine they're going to move that Bryant tip time to not conflict with basketball, but we shall see. But we do know Northeastern on Saturday is now a 4 o'clock tip at the JMA as opposed to a 2 o'clock tip. When Syracuse gets back on the field football-wise Saturday, they will have, they had him back this week, but we're kind of waiting for the true blue Garrett Schrader to show up again. And I think what we learned of all the things, because it's not just the offense, but what takes center stage here is the offense has not scored a touchdown in back-to-back games. The offense in 3 straight games, they did put up 24 against Notre Dame. One of those was a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. But this offense has looked like a shell of itself. You know, the vaunted offense that came in and Robert and I switches things around. Schrader was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the country the first half of the season. While Sean Tucker was not certainly at the numbers he was last year, was still making an impact. The offensive line that was nominated for the Joe Moore Award, which they cut that list down today, by the way, the 9 schools. Not surprised to say Syracuse didn't make that cut because the offensive line has had its issues. Blocking, opening up holes, penalties, number of things. So wasn't surprised they didn't make the cut there. Aronde Gatson emerges as this tight end wide receiver, you know, slash just dude just gets open no matter what type of player. And it just feels like that sound you hear in the background is this offense just hitting the brakes in the past few games. First time, I noted it earlier, since 1994 that they have not scored a touchdown in back-to-back games. So how do you get the offense revived? Well, QB1's got to be at his best. Clearly he has not. Schrader's been hurt. And it just, he will say it himself here. This is not just my opinion. The importance of the quarterback, be it Schrader or Carlos Del Rio Wilson, to be able to extend plays. This is such a crucial element in football today. It used to be if you had a quarterback that could extend plays with his feet, it was a luxury, right? If you had a Fran Tarkenton type, if you had a Randall Cunningham, if you had a John Elway, it was a bonus that you found a quarterback with that position. It's funny, I was watching randomly old film the other day. I found old film of Syracuse. Oh, I know why I was watching that film. I was actually looking for the last time that the Syracuse offense had not scored a touchdown in back-to-back games. So you go back to 1994, and there's a game Syracuse is playing at the Dome against then number 5 Miami. Near sold-out crowd at the Dome, 1994. Kevin Mason's a quarterback, right? And there's a play right at the end of the game where Syracuse is driving. This is like right in the heart of the option era, right? Just past Marvin Graves, just before Donovan McNabb, right? There was one play. We're talking about a Miami defense, by the way, that's got Warren Sapp, that's got some NFL-level talent on it. So Mason drops back and gets flushed out of the pocket. And what would have surely been a 20, 25-yard loss turns into Mason getting a 10-yard gain out of it, but not before he had to run all over the field and duck about, I'm not kidding you, 8-9 defenders that somehow missed him. And Keith Jackson's calling the game, right? It's the old Keith Jackson. I believe it was Bob Greasy who was on the color. Keith Jackson. Live in the Dome. I don't do a good Keith Jackson impression. But, man, that voice, that was the voice of college football for so long, and it was so cool to hear him calling a Syracuse game. But the point being, when they did the replay, both Keith Jackson and Bob Greasy were like, folks, that's a quarterback running around like that. Because typically back then, even in college, the quarterback was just the guy in the pocket that threw the ball. So if you had a quarterback that could run, even to run the option, and this is, you know, past the Donnie McPherson era, but even if you had a quarterback that could run, it was a luxury. Now it's a necessity. So bring it full circle here to what this offense counts on from its quarterback position, what the Buffalo Bills count on from its quarterback, what the Kansas City Chiefs count on from its quarterback, and they're not a dime a dozen. You can find a special talent like this that can extend plays with their legs. Boy, do you just go in on that. So, Schrader mentioned that in a number of things about how they get this going. But the first and most important question when it comes to Garrett Schrader these days is, how's he feeling?
I feel like I've made strides health-wise this past week, that exponentially from the past 3 weeks. So I think we'll be able to do a little bit more and do a little bit different stuff so we can really start to trust the defenses again and actually making them cover the whole field. So I'll be looking forward to it.
Schrader here on practice, getting things back going and looking towards this Wake Forest team that awaits the Orange on Saturday night.
It's been an uphill battle. It's been tough. And, you know, this week, it's a little bit, it's starting, I think we're starting to get back to our original offense just because I'm able to do more stuff. So hopefully we'll be able to go down and score some points and be a little bit more explosive than we have been.
I asked Garrett the mindset of this team. Win six in a row, lose four straight now, trying to kind of snap out of that and not only get back a win, but kind of snap back to it as a team as well.
Just trying to stay positive, just knowing the situation. And everybody in this room, and you know, we fully believe that, and we know that if we were healthy, you know, all these games would have been a different story. But that's not football. That's not how it's been going. So, you know, we got to adjust and learn on the fly and try to figure something out. And, you know, it hadn't been easy.
Now, there, you can hear that how confident Garrett is. He wants to project that confidence. He wants to put that back in his team, back in himself. He's already mentioned that he's feeling good. He's feeling healthy. This is going to be the week the offense gets going because he feels like he's back to himself. And remember, the past few weeks, Garrett has not talked to the media on Tuesdays, which is his choice and his right. I think QB1 should be out there every week, just kind of doing the state of the team. But to be fair, if Garrett had come out the past couple of weeks, then he probably would have had to, not that players and coaches don't do this in media settings, but he probably had to tell a few white lies about how he's feeling. Maybe he didn't want to show his ankles wrapped up. He didn't want to give a clue to the other team. Certainly, I would imagine, I'm speculating here, but that's, you know, pretty much informed speculation. Maybe Dino didn't want his quarterback talking. Sometimes the players are hurt in general. You know, they don't talk to the media anyway. So I get that kind of cloak and dagger part of it. So we've listened to a few there. Here's the one I thought was most significant. And this was right at the end. And I asked Garrett about just how do you get some more receivers involved? How do you fit, you know, the term that he used Saturday after the loss to Florida State was, we've got to connect again on offense. So how do you do that?
It's just trying to put all 11 guys together and working together. And and also part of that is to just not being able to extend plays historically, as this past couple weeks has been able to. That, you know, really realize what how big that is in our offense. But you know, I feel like we're going to be able to get back to that this week because I'm feeling a lot better, and hopefully we can go out there and score some points, and we'll definitely be in a situation too. And we just got to go out and execute, and you know, just keep doing what we've been doing, and not worry about you know, stay motivated and ready to go. But I think this is our week to get back on track, and I really do mean that sincerely, and those guys know that too. So because I feel like I'm feeling healthy, you know, I'll be able to go out and do some stuff that I haven't been able to. So it'll be fun
to hear him say I believe that sincerely. Right? I think sometimes Garrett can be, you know, there could be a little sarcasm in there. He kind of likes to joke around with the media here, but that particular 48 seconds there, he says, I believe this sincerely. I think I'm healthy. I think we're back. Like, how can I frame this? Look, I've done enough of these interviews. I've been to enough of these interviews where I feel like I give a pretty good report card between hearing players tell me what I think they want me to hear versus what they really believe. I believe Garrett there. I mean, the results have to show on Saturday, and it is at the point where that tea kettle's getting louder. When you don't score a touchdown in back-to-back games, I mean, quarterback situation or not, you have got to break that mold. And by the way, Wake Forest is the team that you've got to score against. Okay, Wake Forest is having their own issues right now. Syracuse must be breathing a sigh of relief in a sense. We'll ask Connor O'Neill about this later, but they must be breathing a sigh of relief in the sense that Wake cannot run the football. But they can sling it and they can score. Like, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. Yeah, they can't run the ball, but man, they can throw the ball, they can score, but what's up with that defense, and why are they in the slide that they're in? Now, there's a difference between the slide they're in and the one that Syracuse is in that they're still scoring points. They're still in games. They're still giving North Carolina all North Carolina can handle in a two-point loss on Saturday, whereas the Orange were out of it the minute the game started on Saturday against Florida State and lost 38-3. So it's good to see Garrett again. Glad he came out there and kind of got that message out there. And you can sense the confidence coming from QB1 there. I don't think he's trying to talk that into existence. I think he feels like he's finally at a place where this offense can do what it does because it needs its quarterback to be mobile. At the heart of it, and this is football today, yeah, you need your every team needs a quarterback to stand in the pocket and make throws, but the game is so predicated now on a quarterback that can give you that extra second, and a half to move, find the open receiver, and get it out there. And there has been open receivers in this offense, but they're typically looking back and seeing a quarterback scrambling, throwing the ball out of bounds, getting tackled, or just outright not being able to get him the football. That's obviously got to change this week. Of all the issues that Syracuse has, quarterback's been injured, Sean Tucker's been underused, or teams are keying in on him to make it hard to use him, offensive line can't block, the penalties, the defense giving up the run, the injuries, there's a lot. There's a lot that has piled up in this four-game losing streak. The biggest issue is the quarterback, bar none, because of the injuries. Garrett's really that healthy and back to where he can get this offense to where it needs to be, they will have a shot against Wake Forest. And I think it's going to help by having that doubt removed. Last couple of weeks, there's been a shadow looming. Who's the quarterback? What's it going to be? Okay, even if Garrett plays, Carlos going to be in? Like, a team needs to know who its quarterback is. And within the boundaries of the four walls of that program, they certainly had a better sense of it than we did. But when there's an air of mystery like that, and people are asking about it, and it's even within the own team, like, are we sure he's the quarterback? To know, this is our QB, he is back, and if he's talking like this again, at the very least, you got to feel better about their chances here against Wake Forest, because it all comes down to that. And on that note, we will break. We'll come back. Speaking of quarterbacks, one of the best takes I've heard on Josh Allen, we're going to play that for you, plus what the NFL can learn from the NBA. That's coming up in Hot Takes. More on Syracuse and Colgate, certainly, as we press forward. Looking forward to Felicia Leggett-Jack joining us for her weekly spot here on the block, presented by Wegmans and Bill Rapp Superstore coming up. Connor O'Neill later from Deacon Illustrated to give us this skinny on this Demon Deacons team. The Orange is going to face Saturday night. We got a lot to do on top of a pregame show at 6 o'clock for Syracuse and Colgate. Man, we're just getting going. Don't you go anywhere.